Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new week. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. True, straight up.
That's right. Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. We're going to have today take a close look, sort of a deep dive, into the Trump trial. All kinds of things happening. Even CNN saying that there was a bomb in the case, basically. And the judge, in a very annoyed manner, clearly treating the defense witnesses differently than he treated the prosecution witnesses.
And also treating the objections from either side quite differently.
Quite exactly, apparently.
The prosecutions don't even have to level an objection or what it's about, just objection, sustain, objection, sustain. I'm not hearsay or prejudicial or irrelevant, you know, nothing, just...
Objection. Okay, sustained. You're the prosecution. But I want to start off with John Columnist. He's a John Conlon, rather, a columnist that we've had on before, and he had a great column up recently that we wanted to talk to him about. So, hey, John, thank you, and welcome back to the show.
Hey, John.
Hi there, Chuck and Julie. Thanks for having me back.
You bet.
You know, your column, I think, is so appropriate on many levels. But basically, and I'll let you explain it, you say, you know, the Democrats use sock puppets. And you're not talking about internet sock pockets or sock puppets. You're talking about the old-fashioned ones to trick Republicans into reacting. Why don't you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, they, back when we were kids, we maybe played with sock puppets, you know, put a sock on your hand and, you know, it could be anything you want. You breathe life into it. You breathe motive into it. And it could be good or bad, and they'd have battles and all this and whatnot. And that's effectively what the Democrats do with their identity politics. They take some attribute, could be skin color, could be sex, could be, you know, whatever, and they create a group out of it. And they act like this group is a real physical thing that also has emotions, you know, feelings, it thinks this way, it thinks that way. And my point is conservatives are idiots for arguing against those sock puppets because they control the sock puppets, so they're never going to lose. And instead, right, conservatives need to get much more aggressive in calling them out and saying, you know, the fundamental reality of life is that they're individuals, you know? They're Chuck and I are guys, Julie, you're a woman, but...
Speak for yourself.
You know, that doesn't mean that all women think like Julie. It doesn't mean that all guys think like we do. We're individuals. We should embrace the individual and stop with this stupidity of grouping people by these, you know, some attributes. The whole diversity, equity, inclusion movement, you know, that's what its core is, you know. Oh, we got to have a black person because all black people are the same. We can just replace this one with that one. We need a woman on staff. So, you know, it doesn't matter that they're individuals. They just feel, you know, check some box. So that's kind of the point.
I'll give you
article.
A little pushback on that. You can be black, but you can't be conservative. Because as Joe Biden said, if you're black and you don't know, vote for me, then you're not really black. And otherwise,
see, that's a perfect example of them, you know, yes, creating the sock puppet and then, yes, saying this is the way the sock puppet is and you can't disagree with it.
Right.
Well, you know, a perfect example came up this past couple of weeks with the Kansas City Chiefs kicker who delivered, a graduation address at a Catholic college. And basically, I mean, the Democrats, they totally have created this sock puppet with words coming out of the sock puppet's mouth that have actually nothing to do with what the kicker actually said. And they created this whole furor over it. He basically said that he was trying to say to women, you have a choice. Whatever you choose is good. And he was saying a lot of his success was due to the fact that he married his wife and she was a homemaker, right? He wasn't saying women stay, you have to stay in the kitchen. And it's culminated in the fact that the Kansas City Star is now calling on the Super Bowl winning Chiefs to fire their kicker and go find a female kicker.
All right. I love it.
I mean, maybe
once again, all women are the same. So we could just replace this guy with some woman.
They created this whole narrative around, and then everybody has to, and you're so right about this. So they first, the sock puppet says something that the kicker did not say, but rather than people keep pointing out, that's not what the guy said, right? You're right. The Republicans too often get trapped into arguing with them about what women should or shouldn't do without mentioning the fact that's not what the guy said, you know?
Well, what they want you to do is to add the not word. If they can get you to say, I'm not a racist. Then you're all set. Right. I'm not a sexist. I'm not a homophobe. I'm not this. Perfect. Because, you know, people take the not out. And just like Nixon say, I'm not a crook. You take the not out. Yeah, he's a crook. So as long as you can be there, hey, I'm not a racist. You've lost.
Right. Well,
I'm in my 60s. So I kind of grew up, you know, with feminism, you know, blossoming and whatnot, and I always found it funny because true feminism is really captured by one word. It's freedom. You can live your life however the hell you want. But modern feminism doesn't say that. That's what this kicker was saying. You have the freedom. Maybe you choose to stay at home and raise kids. Maybe you want to go become the VP. But modern feminism doesn't let you, just like Chuck said with blacks, there's a certain way you have to think if you're going to be a feminist. You just can't say it's about freedom.
And you're right. And then part of it is not just Republicans. Part of it is, you know, the media likes any controversy, the stupider the better, right? Because then they don't actually have to think about stuff. And so then they'll go ahead and fuel it too. And like I said, no one is going to, what happens if a transgender kicker, like, so a guy who's really a man but claims to be a woman now tries out for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well,
that
can
count.
Oh,
I know. I mean, that's how ridiculous the whole thing is.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure there's some good kickers out there. Say, hey, if you give me a job, I identify as a woman. Okay, sure, go ahead.
Well, how do we, because one of the things you do and you do very well is you study systems and how people work and how groups work and things. Because you're absolutely right. This is something that has captured us all, and it causes division and it causes fights where we don't even need to be fighting. How do you fight, to use another word, to fight, but how do you fight back against this?
I think we go back to the core. They're only individuals. They're the only, you know, physical reality that exists. So let's quit talking about blacks and whites and this. They're individuals. Maybe their ancestors came from over here. Maybe it came from over there. Maybe they're right-handed. Maybe they're left-handed. But I think we have to quit arguing and fighting about these abstractions that don't exist. And what the media has done, and the Democrats, I suppose, is they want everyone to think like a marketer. I'm a business guy, okay? In business, if I'm a marketer, I might think that you're your zip code. Well, obviously you're not your zip code. Everyone in your zip code does not think the same, does not look the same, does not act the same. But from a marketer standpoint, painting with a broad brush, I might say you are your zip code. But as humans, as free individuals, we don't have to think that way about other fellow free individuals.
Right. Well, and I think it falls into their secret plot, which isn't so secret anymore, of causing division and chaos in the country, right? Like you said, every time you turn around, there's a new group. Remember, there was that funny where that, you know, you can't tell. So if you're a Jewish, gay, transgender person, is it okay to be against Hamas? I mean, you know what I mean? In Hollywood, it was a thing. It's like, I can't keep up. But they constantly create new ones. And then they create this fake outrage, and then all of a sudden, you know, some politician goes on TV and, you know, somebody's going to ask Lauren Boebert, do you think the Kansas City Chiefs should have a female kicker, right? And all of a sudden they create it, and then there's division because whatever she says, people are going to be mad. And I think you're right. People need to just start saying, that's a stupid question. I'm not even going to answer it, right?
Exactly. I stop arguing with the sock puppet, you know, The sock puppet doesn't exist. I won't argue about it. I'll argue about concepts. I'll argue about individuals. But, you know, this thing that, you know, all blacks think this way, all whites think this way, all gays behave this way, it's BS. We just need to call it that.
Well, you know, I must admit, Marco Rubio, I don't particularly like, but he was on with Christian Welker.
We'll play some of that sound later.
Oh, okay. And she, he, she's going, will you respect the election? And right. He said, I don't know if it's fair, but no, not just any election. And they said, well, you, and he just, you know, gave it to her back, which was wonderful. Well,
and then he said, and you don't ask Democrats that.
Yeah, you don't ever ask a Democrat. And Christian Walker's eyes are getting glazed over, and she's going, you know, don't talk back to me, little boy.
Well, and excuse me. Like I said, the only way you can fight back is just not go into the narrative, because once you start defending it, you know, you're in trouble. And as far as the election goes, I don't think that's an irrational position to take, to say, yeah, you know, I'll accept the election if it was fair. What is outrageous about that statement?
Well, and that's what the media does. And I think it is, I mean, that's what they'll do, right? So they, again, I guarantee you that all over Kansas City right now, politicians are being asked, do they think the Chiefs should get a new female kicker? And if they don't, I mean, it's come so far away from what the kicker actually said, right? And if someone stands up to support him, then they get attacked and, you know, and they turn it into a thing. And I think that, yeah, if people do more like Marco Rubio and just said, it depends on if it's fair or not. And how come you don't ask Democrats that? You know, I think we need to do, like, use it. We need to say, that's like not real. That's a sock on your hand. That's not really a person there, you know?
Yep. I agree 100%.
Why? Well, let me ask you this. I think it's becoming easier than it was a few years ago. I think that the media and the Democrats have become so outrageous and pushed so hard on so many fringy kind of things that I think that that technique is no longer as effective as it used to be. What do you think?
I agree 100%. I don't know if we can put it all at Trump's feet, but, you know, Trump breaks people. I don't know why, but he breaks people. And they've just gone to such an extreme, you know, as Dave Chappelle calls them, the alphabet people. It just keeps getting longer and longer. And none of them really exist. They're all, most of them, other than gay or straight, are made up. They don't exist. They're mental states.
Right. Right. Well, and yeah, and they had to do that because I think on the gay issue, they pretty much won all of those battles, right?
Yeah, exactly. We got to go to the trans. We got to mutilate the children. That'll get them.
Right.
And we won't tell the parents about it. Even better.
Take your victory and go home. But instead, I can't. I keep waiting for the gay and lesbian community, although there's been some brave lesbians speaking out about the insanity of transgenderism. I can't go on X. I'm certain you've seen them where, you know, the girl standing there proudly with her shirt off that she's had her breast cuts off. It just makes me physically ill that we would do that to a mentally ill person.
Right, right. Well, and then even in the Colorado legislature, there's an organization doing what, you know, gays against groomers, right? And calling it what it is. And the Democrats would not allow the Republicans to use the word groomers. They said that was hostile.
Even though that's the title of the group.
That's the name of the group.
That's the name of the group. He could not say the group name. He said gays against X. You can't say the word groomers.
And like, who would be opposed to being opposed to someone who was sexually grooming a child?
Because they have a lot of Democrats there who love to groom some children.
Right.
I mean, but you're right. So
exactly.
Out of the blue, they created, like you said, the sock puppet of this victimized groomer, you know? And the Republicans, they're like, what do you mean we can't say it? And they're like, you can't say it. And they would gavel him to silence.
And the ultimate example of not being able to say it, and I won't get you guys in trouble. I won't say it on the air, although it's a podcast. Maybe I can. But, you know, we can't say the real word, but we can say the N word. But the way brains work, the only way my brain can process that is I have to know what the core word means or is.
Right.
Otherwise, it makes no sense. But somehow, somehow by saying the N word, that's a lot better than saying the other word. No, it's not really.
Well, and it depends on what color you are, right? If I were if I were a black rapper, I could say it all I wanted to, right? But if I were a white rapper, I could not. And then you're right. And that's it. So whole sock puppet puppet, sock puppet thing too. Well, I think though, I think we're getting,
well, that, you know, another one that, you know, the one of the banjo player from Mumford and Sons, Winston Marshall, they went on that debate with Nancy Pelosi, but he was talking about how he had said, you know, to his 2000 Twitter followers that he enjoyed the book by Andy Ngo that exposed Antifa and Black Lives Matter. And of course the world went insane. He had to quit the band and stuff. And his Mumford himself said, I tried to keep him to stay. So that's a lie. He said, a white man should not say that. Should not say what? What is a white man not supposed to say? That Andy Ngo has a good point? I mean.
Yep. Well, I go back even deeper than that. Define a white person for me. Everyone talks about it. Now, tell me one common characteristics that all black people have, that all white people have. You know, there isn't any because it's made up.
Right, right. Well, you,
well,
know,
you know, we were watching the disastrous last game of the Nuggets series. And, you know, they have the lineups, the two lineups, right? And the only white player was Jokic. But what was amazing about all the players, they're almost all mixed heritage. They're all lighter skin. They all have white ancestors in there. I mean, it's clear these were not, you know, 100% black people. They were people with mixed heritage. And it's just amazing that, you know, it's sort of like the Nazis and the kind of, well, but you got, you know, great grandparents Jewish, then you're not, you're Jewish.
Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, it's Elizabeth Warren.
The Elizabeth Warren test. Exactly. If you think it, well, you know, and another sock puppet kind of thing is, so Kevin Costner has this new movie out. I guess it's going to be a 3-part Western saga. And the critics are destroying it. And Kevin, I was reading a thing in Hollywood Reporter, and it was, which is actually kind of an interesting little site. But at any rate, Kevin Costner was being criticized for not being diverse enough. And he goes, you know, look, I try to check as many boxes as I can.
I got most gay cowboys I can possibly get. But
it's a Western saga. So, you know, I'm trying to be historically, you know, I mean, he said, there's only so much I can do with the roles within all of that. And then they said, well, he made the Indian scene mean. And it's like,
the Indians were never mean, as he knows from Dances with Wolves, so he should know that.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, well, I mean, it's taken over Hollywood, but I think again, the good news is, like you said, I think when you get down to a granular level, and this is why ultimately is failing, is you have a hard time if you have a neighbor who you've, you know, had barbecues or exchanged waves walking in and out of the garage, and the neighbor seems like a guy, nice guy. You don't know what the politics are, but, you know, you figure if your house were on fire, he'd probably call 911 for you if you weren't there or something. And then all of a sudden you find out he's a Trump supporter, and now you have to hate him. I think most people don't fall for that. Most people, like you, say, okay, I may not like Trump or I may not like Biden, but there are plenty of people who have voted for either who I like, and as an individual, right? As opposed to this giant.
Who do you know voted for Biden?
Ted Trimpa.
Oh, yes.
He might not have actually, but but, you know, but I think people see.
But what do you do about the fact there are some differences in various racial groups? It's true that whites, because they have a bigger fat content, tend to be better swimmers. It's true that blacks tend to be better sprinters. I mean, if you look at the sprinting world, it's 99% black. Swimmers, 99% white. It's true on IQ tests, Asians do incredibly well, probably better than any other group. Blacks do not do as well. And how do you factor all that in? I mean,
but I think, you know, once again, we're not marketers. We're not talking about these things called blacks. I'm talking about that black guy standing right in front of me or for the job interview. He might be much smarter than me. He might be dumb as a post, but he's an individual. And you know, where he fits on the distribution of fat content or speed or whatever is somewhat irrelevant. You know, there's plenty of black guys that aren't very athletic. You know, there's plenty of white guys that are very athletic. So you just got to go back.
But if you're doing things based on SAT scores.
But I mean, he's
let me finish. If you do it based on SAT scores, blacks will not get as many
as a percentage as 13%. Now, there's a lot more in the world than just SAT scores.
Well, a lot of goes
and
into
moreover,
what
they
makes
cheat
an SAT
on that
score,
because,
yeah.
Like Carol Swan would be a perfect affirmative action person. She grew up incredibly poor, had to come incredible things, had to work as a waitress getting through college. And she fought everything in the world. They throw her out of the faculty of Vanderbilt because she didn't think correctly. And that's sort of typical. While Gay, the president of Harvard, really didn't do very well. She did poorly in school, poorly on tests, but they didn't care. So they said, we don't care how you do. We'll just bump you up because we don't care. And once we're in there, we're going to take grades. And now grades, 99% get A's. All right, we've solved it. Except, is there ever merit that matters? Or, if you've had tough circumstances, that should count. If you grew up in a ghetto, that should count.
Without a doubt.
Or Appalachia with no background. But they don't ever do that. They just take gross levels of racial characteristics.
Yep, because they and really, I'm a school choice fan too, and I know a lot about the education world. The best way long term to affect those SAT scores are not to let unqualified blacks into colleges where they're going to freaking fail almost guaranteed. It's to go back to K-12 and start demanding that the parents and the kids have an opportunity to go to a school that will push them to their maximum development versus destroy their life before they even have a freaking chance.
No, but I think you're right about that. Well, and I think the bottom line is, I mean, absolutely agree with what you're saying, that there are times, like when you want to think like a marketer, like say if you're opening a restaurant, right, then you might want to consider the demographics of your neighborhood, right?
Yep.
On the other hand, if you're deciding whether you're going to fall for yet another Democrat sock puppet, then you need to think like an individual and not then react like as a Republican group or a women group or men group or a Kansas City Chiefs group and buy into that hysteria, because that's in the end, I think that's what they really want. They want us all fighting each other over once we stop fighting over race, right? Well, now we got to start fighting over other stuff.
Well, not about money. That's it. They don't want you to watch where all the money's going. Don't watch that, folks. Just fight over other stuff.
Right. Nothing to see there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, well, John, listen, where can people, because I know you write kind of in a number of places, but if people want to see your columns, is there a place where they're sort of all aggregated or where's the best way?
Because I've been failing miserably, I've taken down my website and whatnot. So easiest would be to search for my name, John Conlin, Conlin. You can find my articles there, or my corporation or my nonprofit is called EIC Enterprises, and I'm on X there occasionally. So if you really want to contact me, that'd be a good way to do it too.
Okay. Right. And some of our folks are saying, good guess. So the people love you. So,
love you.
John, good. Thank you.
I need all the love I can get.
All right. There you go. We're
Take
sending,
care.
Sending it your way. Thank
all
you
right. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. It is interesting how easily, like I said, with this whole Kansas City Chiefs thing, everybody gets riled up, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, frankly, the NFL would deserve it if the Super Bowl winning Chiefs are freaking forced to hire a female, and then they're
they
gonna, and then that female should actually be a guy who just claims he's a
yeah,
female.
Yeah, and still sucks,
right? I mean, because how would they deal with that? That's opening a whole can of worms, right? Because they can't say, "Well,
I
we have
love
to
have how
that
female." You know, they after he made his remarks, the diversity and inclusion officer said, these are not the views of the NFL. Not that there are, these are the views of the kicker and don't necessarily reflect it. These are not ours. We're for inclusion. And you kind of go, what happened to the equity part?
Well,
I mean, NFL, where's the equity part? Why should you pay all your players exactly the same?
Yeah.
And they figured that out. We can't put equity in there. Oh, God, we'll get killed. No equity, but...
Why can't homemakers be included, right?
Yeah.
Hey, so I want to switch gears here a little bit and talk about the Trump trial.
Trump trial.
So the prosecution rested and the defense began its case today. And actually, they're done for the day. Not clear how long the defense is going to go. The judge did set closing arguments for May 28th. So that's next
Monday.
Tuesday. Is it Monday? Monday's Memorial Day. I will say this, in my experience, that's not unusual. You got a holiday coming up. They like to do that. Almost inevitably, there will be 800 motions that the judge and the lawyers hammer out, including jury instructions. And so this is done largely to give the jurors a sense of when they're going to come back. But it was a very interesting day in court. If you haven't followed it, so Michael Cohen, the sleazy lawyer, just when you thought he couldn't get sleazier, he did, admitted under yet another great cross-examination. Last week, remember, under cross-examination, he acknowledged that he wasn't actually sure that Trump was on the phone when he was talking to the guy about making the payments. He just believed he was. It's like
good faith belief. It's good enough.
Belief, right. So that was bad. But today it got even worse. Today he admitted that he stole money from the president. They were talking about paying back, and I'll set it up a little bit for you because we've got a bunch of sound, paying back the Trump Organization, paying Michael Cohen back for expenses that he incurred, including paying off Stormy Daniels. But there was another one in there. It was
Redfin.
And it was a firm that the Trump campaign used, as all kinds of campaigns use, to help make their Canada look good. But what he did is he put down that he took out $50,000. But he kept 30,000 of it, gave Redfinch 20, but then got reimbursed the 50,000 plus taxes. So even more money.
What he didn't really bring out is that he screwed Redfinch too.
Right.
Don't owe it to him and stuff. And the real bill was 50, but he said, look, this is all I could do for you.
Right.
I wish they'd brought that out.
Okay. And this, and we'll play this out. This is from Sandra. Was Cohen even an attorney with the Brownstein, whatever an attorney with the Brownstein law firm? Yes. Just kidding. And Charlene, this is my new conspiracy theory. Is Cohen trying to help Trump now? I got to wonder, because he's an attorney. Maybe Bragg was trying to help Trump. But anyway, so this was so bad that even CNN had to say it was bad. So if we could please play, Thomas, the CNN number one soundbite. This is where they kind of lay out what Cohen said.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating stuff. And I have to say, I'm still kind of reeling from the revelation that Michael Cohen stole money from the Trump Organization, and that wasn't, at least to my knowledge, that the prosecution didn't get that out earlier, because it's not as though the prosecution is going to be helped by further evidence that Michael Cohen is a shady character. I'll get to the newest stuff in a second, but what's your reaction to that news? Because that was just kind of stunning.
I'm shocked that we are hearing it for the first time on day three of cross-examination of Michael Cohen, that the prosecution did not take the sting out, did not front it, because it goes to the heart of the actual case. It's not just about establishing him as a liar. They've done that. The prosecution fronted that. We knew that. He has convictions. But going to the heart of what you were telling your employer about what money you were owed and the extent of it, we're talking about $420,000. We've already seen the payment
structure
here.
Right, this isn't like 15 bucks.
It's not 15 bucks. And if you go to the tablet, you can break down what was already known. We've known about what the breakdown of the money is. $130,000 to Daniels and her attorney. You've got $50,000 that's Redfin. This is important here. This was mentioned today, that he only gave Redfinch $20,000. And he handed them in a brown paper bag, by the way, just thinking just about one, how odd
just,
that is.
And just one quick note, Redfinch is this political organization that apparently, according to Michael Cohen, helped them goose these bogus internet polls,
right,
about which candidate is in the lead, et cetera, et cetera. And also, according to Lanny Davis, provided adoring fans for Trump's announcement of his candidacy in June 2015. Sorry.
Really important point to add why this is. They only got 20,000 of it.
Even though the bill was for 50,000,
and you have $180,000, which is again the double of these two combinations, and then a bonus for Cohen. Remember, all that we have so far to link Donald Trump to these payments in part is the statement that quote unquote he approved it. We also know we have information about where the checks were, how it was signed. But remember, McConney, that was one of the comptrollers of the Trump Organization, taking notes from Alan Weisselberg about the money payment. So this is part of what we're talking about. Why this is so important here is because the heart of the matter is that Donald Trump was complicit, caused to have this happen, and knew about the money that was going and why. If they can establish Michael Cohen as somebody who is not to be trusted about the amount of money as well, then they might be able to suggest that Donald Trump had no idea what he was treating.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's sort of the heart of it, right? Because again, it's confusing because none of this is really a crime, and right?
Well, I finally figured it out. I finally got it. It took me a while, and here it is. Here's the prosecution's case. Donald Trump reported these amounts as business expenses and not campaign contributions. Although if they're mixed, it was part for his wife, part for this, not illegal. But if wholly, that's a misdemeanor and the statute of limitations has run.
So they can't charge him.
They can't charge. But what they're trying to say is under this other federal statute, that if you have committed crimes, even though they're outside of the statute of limitations, if it's for in furtherance of another crime, then you can be charged with that crime, which is a federal felony. But under New York law, if you can show that there's another criminal act, then you don't. What they're arguing is you don't have to prove the other one. You just have to assert. They haven't proved any other statute that Donald Trump.
And keep in mind, mentioned. The feds declined to prosecute on that.
And but they're claiming all you need to do is allege.
Right.
Then they'll bring that up in the all you need to do is allege another crime. You don't have to prove another crime. You just allege it. Done.
And it's like, if that sounds confusing, it is because they're making it up. This is a unique.
Well, that's, you know, theory. I mean, it's unbelievable that you bring statutes in that are statute limit barred and then you refer to another statute, which you can't bring, but you don't even have to prove it.
Right.
All you have to do is allege there's another crime out there.
Here, and we'll get to the comments later because I want to kind of go through the sound because these comments are good. So, again, in order to prove that, though, they had to, number one, know that that Donald Trump authorized Michael Cohen to make these payments, and that Donald Trump knew they were campaign payments, not legal payments. And they have to be able to show that that's what happened. The trouble is the only person whose word they have that happened is Michael Cohen. And he's lied about that numerous times. In fact, well, we'll get to that in a second. There was so much that happened today. But for all of a sudden, for Michael Cohen to be able to say that Trump was so lax in what he was paying attention to, that he was able to steal, you know, $30,000.
off the top of his head,
and no one even noticed. Well, that hurts the case. If we could please play the CNN soundbite number two.
This is, to use another metaphor, this is a bomb. This is really important. This is a bomb dropped in the middle of the prosecution's case. Two reasons. One, Michael Cohen was stealing from Donald Trump. He was lying to people about what he was doing with money. He pocketed at least the $30,000 by lying to Weisselberg.
Because they double it to avoid tax reasons.
So $60,000, which, by the way, this is crushing to the prosecution's credibility because the prosecution did not ask Michael Cohen about that on direct. And they haven't made him plead guilty to larceny.
Which this is.
So right. Let's start with that. Look, real quick. The other reason it's so important is the money that Michael Cohen stole from under Donald Trump's nose.
By his own admission,
was part of the $420,000 that Michael Cohen was reimbursed for Stormy Daniels. So the heart of the prosecution's case is that whole setup where they were going to repay Michael Cohen $420,000 to reimburse him for Stormy Daniels. That was all done to pay Stormy Daniels. Trump knew it. Trump knew every penny. That's why he's guilty. Now it turns out Trump is getting robbed by his own guy.
Yeah, I mean, my question here is why has no one coached Michael Cohen, or why does Michael Cohen not say when asked on this on cross, I don't recall? I mean, isn't that kind of the universal?
Apparently he does recall, though.
He does recall. He's a lie.
Listen how sleazy, I just want to point this out, how sleazy that woman was when she said that. She's like,
why did the prosecution come to lie?
I mean, that's basically what she said.
They do that all the time.
And she's got a point there.
But yeah, she does.
Normally you don't say that out loud.
No, don't
right?
say that out loud for it.
Because in the literature is great. Oh, because he did recall, because he said, you can't say.
Well, he told them in the thing. In fact, they brought it up in part of one, but so undertone that people didn't notice. But you can't put a witness on to tell a lie. In theory. You got to tell them, no, I just want you to tell the truth now.
Right. And if you're too stupid, then that will get to Charlene's question there, because we've got one more soundbite to play. So here, the thing is that, because to explain, the prosecution knew that Michael Cohen had stolen the money. He yes. walked them through that, right? Yeah,
right.
So they knew that he stole the money, but they never charged him with that, which by everyone's acknowledgement is a worse crime than what, I mean, theft, no. larceny, it, well, technically is a worse crime than like campaign filing document, or campaign filing
my,
titles.
My
right,
campaign,
right, exactly. Yeah. And so you got to wonder, are they using that to hold over Michael Cohen too? But Charlena, gets to your point. I got to wonder if in his own weird way, number one, I think Michael Cohen just wants to be famous. And Michael Cohen, in his view, there's, you know, no such thing as bad publicity. There's only publicity, right? And maybe that's what he's going after. But maybe in his own way, he's screwing the prosecution too, you know? You just think he's just stupid. Well, and then
not stupid. It's just they knew about it. Well, part of his agreement, I'm sure, the prosecution is that you can't lie to us. You can't hide anything from us. If you do, then we can, you know, we will prosecute you. So he felt, okay, you know, I stole this money from Trump. Like, oh, good.
Yeah. That's right. Okay, and we'll get to the conspiracy theories here in a second. I want to play one more soundbite, which gets to the heart of the matter is, what is a jury going to make of this, right? Sometimes it can be tricky that, you know, New York does not allow cameras in the courtroom. So all we have are, you know, it's like playing phone, you know what I mean? When you whisper to somebody and then they whisper, right? So you just have these reporters who are in the courtroom telling other people about it, who then tell other people about it. And then, you know, it trickles down to all of us talking about it. So you got to keep that in mind. It's not, it's impossible.
But there's one that's not true. Lawrence, is that his last name?
Yeah, Lawrence O'Donnell.
Lawrence O'Donnell. He's been there. He was there. And he was saying, you know, it's just like he was making it good, you know, if the money was owed him, you know.
He deserved a bonus,
and he didn't even take all the bonus. he was less than the entire bonus. He was really, should have been paid, so it's okay.
Yeah, he said it's not really stealing. Though he said, under direct cross-examination,
yes.
they said, did you steal from Donald Trump? And he said, yes, sir.
Well, that says he's so honest.
Right. But Lawrence O'Donnell is like, MSNBC is like, it's like, no, it doesn't, well, it's not really stealing. This was just money
adjusting
he found of his
scales.
Own. So, like, if I go to his store and I take a dress because I feel
the prices are too high.
The prices are too high. So I'm just going to take it. Yeah, that just equals out. It's like, that's an unusual theory of law. But the big question is, though, is what is the jury going to make of this? If we could please play CNN number 3.
I've been wondering all along, all you need is one juror
right.
to say, I have reasonable doubt. What's your assessment of whether or not any reasonable juror would have reasonable doubt based on this information?
Well, I think this is significant for reasonable doubt purposes. You now have two major issues. You know, one of the phone calls that wasn't, you know, what he originally talked about, and the calculation of the money that wasn't what he originally talked about. And it's not only, you know, going to his credibility, but it also goes to Alvin Bragg's office's credibility. Because
how did they not get this out ahead of time?
Exactly, no idea. And you have two different things. You know, when it comes to the Shiller call, they're going to argue to the jury, how did they not know that? Why did we have to bring it out? We got it from the text that we got from discovery from them, and apparently Michael Cohen said they never asked him about it. They didn't figure it out.
No, he says Cohen says he has told
right.
multiple prosecutors with the DA's office about it.
Correct.
Assuming that's true. I mean, we don't, you know, again, we don't know if that's true. But he's saying he told them about it. They didn't bring it up.
This is worse because this is something that he discussed with prosecutors. Prosecutors knew that the evidence they were putting on was tainted by this additional crime.
But interestingly, then today, the second defense witness was Costello, who was Cohen's former lawyer when he was going through the stuff. And there was some conversation last week. Costello testified at the congressional hearing, right? And Costello said repeatedly, Cohen told him that Trump had no idea about the Stormy Daniels payment, had nothing to do with it. Repeatedly told him that, right?
Well, so, and you may wonder if there is such a thing called attorney-client privilege.
Yeah.
Why that is an attorney-client privilege.
Yeah, I don't know.
And the reason it's not is the prosecutors wanted to bring in Costello for the grand jury one, but they couldn't bring it in because the guy's going, you know, it's attorney-client. And so Cohen waived his attorney-client thing, and you can't just slightly waive. Oh, just a little bit.
And so that's why he can come in and say, no, he repeatedly told me.
All right. So now we'll go through the comments because I think these are great. Is Cohen trying to help Trump now? You got to wonder. Again, from Charlene, very strange that CNN is reporting negatively on Cohen. They could just gloss over it. Exactly. And then Sandra.
Well, Lawrence O'Donnell did.
Right. Sandra said, I'm glad you two listen to these media morons because I will never do it. From Jacob, call Michael Cohen what he is, a bag man. And then Charlene says, agree, Sandra. I can't imagine any CNN coverage not being intentionally misleading. And everybody liked a bag man. And then Charlene says, yeah, most of them say, I don't recall. That's, you know, when something's up. And yes, he's so sleazy, probably working both sides, which is par for the course for him. And then from James, whatever happened to the directed verdict idea? Yeah, this judge will never, I think they probably, and Jacob, I know you have your hand raised. We'll get to you here in a second. The directed, that's where the judge says there's not enough evidence. So I'm just throwing it out. They already would have had that happen before the defense started presenting. And I'm sure this judge, who he and his daughter are making a ton of money, just said no. Because then the judge.
93. Million.
Yeah, the judge, meanwhile, was smacking down Costello because he didn't like the way he was looking at him.
Yeah,
so,
you know, after every objection without a basis for the objection, you know, after a while, you go, geez, and rolling his eyes. And, you don't do that in the quorum, my quorum. We're above board here.
Yeah, they cleared the courtroom so he could yell at him. But here's my, and I don't know that I believe this, but I just want to toss this out. I wonder if the Democrat, because there are polls coming out all over the place. Was I reading a Politico poll? Somebody, a lefty organization, had a poll out that showed at the very worst, nobody cares if Trump gets convicted or not convicted on any of the things. The overwhelming, well, not overwhelming, but significant majority said wasn't going to make any difference. And then to make it worse, another majority said they would actually be more likely to vote for Trump if, because of all these convictions, because it just seems so clear that it's over the top persecution. So I'm wondering if somebody somewhere, because we know the Biden DOJ and Obama and all of that, the, you know, intelligence
Where
community.
Where is Caligio, wherever the guy is, number three from the State Department?
Yeah, they need to fire him.
Well, he's not around. I mean, you know, it's this other
he left.
Less kind of mean looking woman.
But I'm wondering if they're looking at this, the powers that be that really are running the show in Washington, D.C., and they're saying, okay, this is helping Trump. We thought this was going to be a good idea. The other cases are not going to go before the election. It doesn't look like. We need to bail on this. We need a hung jury. We don't want an acquittal. But I'm wondering if that's why all of a sudden you're seeing The Hill is reporting it wasn't good. ABC is reporting it wasn't good. You know, Politico hadn't touched it last time, but I mean,
you're overthinking it.
I don't know. Maybe I'm
overthinking it.
And they're just
better. They don't want to be saying, "Looks great," and then when a hung jury comes, God, what weren't we reporting to you? Like everything.
Well, that could be. Well, although that will play other sound bites, so they don't care about that. Okay, Jacob, you've been waiting patiently. Go ahead. What do you got today?
Okay, the reason Michael Cohen is testifying because he lied on his tax return. And at the rate of about a couple million dollars. Unfortunately for his wife, she signed the same tax form. So it's the same perjury. And they were threatening that if he doesn't testify, that they would throw her in prison for 7 years.
Ah.
So that's why they knew from the beginning. I knew this 2 years ago. I mean, they reported this 2 years ago.
Think maybe he's sort of intentionally screwing them, saying, hey, you didn't ask me that? No.
Yeah.
Chuck doesn't think so.
Yeah. You know, those depositions, the way they go, if you don't ask the right questions, you know, you get stung in court. But to this guy Costello, he wants to testify about the law. He knows the law better than anyone. And the judge says, no, I'm not letting you testify, because, and then he threw everybody out of the courtroom. So we'll see what happens tomorrow.
And threatened him into the life.
Yeah. All right, good point, Jacob.
Yeah,
Thank you. Well, and then to kind of play some of the other things, this is why I'm suspicious, because the media, as you know, Charlene pointed out, they're perfectly happy to just lie about it, right? I mean, we've seen that before. And so it was interesting. So Marco Rubio was on with CNN, where they were happy to lie about the past, too, about the Hunter Biden laptop,
right.
Without any concern. So if we could please play the Marco Rubio soundbite.
What undermines elections is when NBC News and every major news outlet in America in 2020 censored the Biden laptop story, which turned out to be true, not Russian misinformation, unprecedented, only you couldn't even talk about it on social media. They would deplatform you. People look at all this. They look at what happened in Arizona, 200,000 ballots that had the signatures didn't match.
Senator,
people will lose confidence, and it opens the door to this.
I have to jump in here. Senator, you voted to certify the election. And
because at that stage in the process, you have no options.
Senator, you voted to certify the election. Nothing has been censored on this program. Hillary Clinton.
Did you guys cover the laptop for Joe Biden in 2020?
Absolutely. We covered the laptop.
It was bad. You couldn't even talk about it in
social
media.
Chris Krebs, the top election official.
You couldn't talk about it in social media. It'd be deplatformed. You couldn't even talk about it because you were called. They said it was Russian disinformation.
Senator Rubio,
voters in many cases didn't even hear about it because it was blacked out by the media.
We did cover the election, and just to note that Chris Krebs, who was a top Trump election official, called it the safest and most secure election in recent history. Senator Rubio, we are out of time.
But I'm telling you that if it's unfair, we are going to do the same thing Democrats do. We're going to use lawyers to go to court and point out the fact that states are not following their own election laws.
But the Democrats,
hopefully we'll have a fair election,
all of those
and it'll
cases,
be
Senator. Senator.
Now, what was good is so she was trying to get him say, "Oh, will you?" Their little litmus test. Now, will you accept the election results? And that's when he said, "If it's fair." But you mean you hear it? She said, "Oh, we did cover the Hunter Biden laptop story." Well,
and it's true. They had Andrea Mitchell do a big segment, which I don't have time to play. That it was Russian disinformation. And they covered it and then said, don't listen to all that stuff. It's Russian disinformation.
Right. I mean, they lied. And nor have they really ever gone back and said
that
it was true, right?
No, we covered that. Yeah.
And then, Joe, we'll play this. And then I agree with you, Sandra. Good for Marco Rubio. Keep talking over the, you know what, B word. Well, and that's what Republicans have learned, right? It's like, we don't have to answer their questions. If they're going to ask a stupid question, say, okay, and let's talk about, you know, the Hunter Biden laptop. That's what impacts elections. And then Joe Scarborough on MSNBC.
This is great.
Is still holding on to the Russia hoax. If we could please play the Scarborough soundbite.
One of the more maddening things that you will see out there, people talking about the Russian hoax. They keep talking about the Russian hoax. The Russians never tried to influence our elections. It's all, you know, this, that, or the other. You actually have the chairman of the House GOP Armed Services Committee, Intel Committee, and Foreign Affairs Committee all saying that Russian disinformation is being spread on the House floor by Republican members. And here we have more reporting of what's never really stopped, and that is Vladimir Putin and Russia trying to help Donald Trump get elected again. I mean, hoax? There is no hoax. Mm-hmm. The propaganda is going not only on media sources now. Putin has now figured out a way to use House GOP members to spread Russia's lies.
Well, okay, so first of all, that's not the Russia hoax was not Russia trying to hoax us. The Russian hoax was the Democrats using the specter
DOJ.
And the DOJ and the media using the specter of Russian interference as a hoax.
Steele dossier, everything else. Well, that's great. Just deny it.
Just deny it.
If you're Joe Scarborough, it's not true.
I mean, just mix it all up. There was a Russian hoax, or there wasn't. I don't know which it is now.
No, he says there is no Russia hoax. That's all BS. And now we got congressmen who are sock puppets for the Russians.
And again, and he's completely twisted what the Russia hoax was all about.
He doesn't care.
No, he doesn't care. No, they just
tool bag.
I know. Well, and again, Lawrence O'Donnell, when Michael Cohen, when directly asked, did you steal from Trump, the Trump organization? Yes, sir, I did. And then Lawrence O'Donnell's like, it wasn't so much stealing as it was him taking money he felt he deserved.
And so money he didn't take at all. You know, he didn't take well with taxes, maybe, but not all of it. So he was pretty fair.
He was
fair to the Trump administration.
Anybody who steals feels they deserve it, right?
Well, we all do. Sure.
And you know, and I don't know. Then Leo says it's weird we never had New Zealand messing with our elections. That's because they're cannibals, right? Aren't they? Is it
right?
New Guinea. Oh, sorry,
New
Guinea.
Close to New Zealand.
And Charlene, don't quote him. He sounds too convincing, too smooth. And that's the thing. That's what he's doing well, Charlene. You're right. You look at him. He completely
believes it.
He believes it, but also he. I am sure if you were to stop and think about it, he knows what the Russia hoax really was, but he's twisting it around to say, anytime you hear the word Russia hoax, don't fall for it, right? Yeah, then it's certainly not the media's fault.
Well, he can point out that the Justice Department indicted these troll farms or bot farms somewhere. And once they came into court, they ran away. But he could say, there it was.
Yeah, from Shetland, he doesn't believe it. Sometimes I think at a certain level, after this many years, Charlene, I think they have brainwashed themselves. Otherwise, they would just have to go home and shower for hours to get that.
They wouldn't have enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Lava to take it off on their bodies.
Yeah, really. Sandra, your shows are so fantastic. Keep it up and thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's time to wrap it up. Perfect.
Perfect segue to that. Let's read that a couple more times.
Hey, thanks to John Conlon and everyone there on Zoom. On Wednesday, we're going to have Sue Moore with the...
This is going to be great.
Yeah, with the Colorado Liberty scorecard.
You'll get the final scorecard on everybody and see who is naughty and nice and really see how the Liberty scorecard has made a huge impact on has made an important impact on the conduct of Republicans. So.
That's right. That's on Wednesday. In the meantime, everyone have a great week. Until then, we'll see you then.
Bye-bye. And something cool Friday, too.